Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. These are great people that are terrific insurance pros, but these are great people. And they know their business. So they want to make sure you're fully insured, whether it's auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, and they want to do everything they can. They'll find any avenue they can to save you money while making sure you're fully insured. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call of the day, Joey Porter Jr. He ended the Cleveland game by breaking one up. This time, he gets a big interception in the end zone.
Shotgun, Jackson, up high, intercepted! Picked off by Joey Porter Jr. The rookie comes away with it.
I know you're not supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Lamar Jackson did not play well yesterday. Like, anytime you bring it up, it's like, you can't say that. Well, guess what? He didn't play well yesterday. That was bizarre. I don't know what Monken's thinking about calling plays like that. Okay? I got a guy like that inside the 5-yard line. I run him, especially on a day where he's not throwing the ball well. And I don't mean run Gus Edwards. I mean run him. I'm trying to put the game away. I thought that was bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. But great play by Joey. Thrilled for Joey. And that's what Joey does. He's better than Chase Claypool.
Oh, my almighty!
The day they made that trade? This is one of the great steals of all time. They traded Chase Claypool for a second-round pick. Nobody trades Chase Claypool for a second-round pick. I mean, what did the Bears get in return for him this time? A fifth, sixth?
They got a sixth, but they also had to give up a seventh.
Yeah.
They had to trade Claypool and a seventh to get a sixth back.
Yeah. Great. Fabulous. Packers-Raiders coming up tonight. So the Phillies go out and they get Spencer Strider out of the gate. And this is 2 years in a row. Strider was banged up going into last year, but not this time. A completely healthy 20-game winner, the whole deal. They got him. They didn't overwhelm him the way Arizona overwhelmed Clayton Kershaw. But they got him early, and they played with the lead. And I just felt in watching the Braves the other night against the Phillies that once they got past the third inning and they were still behind, I felt like the Braves were pressing. Over and over again. In other words, because if you're in a best of five, this is the team that beat you last year, and you're like, here we go. You got to be kidding me. Here we go again. And not only that, Spencer Strider, our guy, who's going to walk out there and make the world right again. They did just enough to him to get him out of the game eventually. I mean, that's such a big win. In a best of five, in a best of seven, you don't think about it as much. But in a best of five, it is a big deal, especially now the way it's set up for Philadelphia. They've got Wheeler in game two and Nola in game three, and they have Wheeler available again in game five. They have the setup of all setups. Now, the question is, can they take advantage of it? That's what's so great about baseball. It's like any sport. You want to know why one of the reasons that Las Vegas is so successful and why all those buildings are so large and opulent? Because the house does not lose that often. Why doesn't the house lose that often, especially on sports gambling? Because they do what the fan doesn't do. They set odds in the present. The fan is always trying to use past information and like last week's game as to how they want to bet this week. Every week is different. Matchups are different. Okay? There are a couple key things when it comes to when you're putting together your scheme for the week. What are my matchups? And what do they do where I can get angles to get myself better matchups? That's what you're trying to do. You know, what can I run? They don't handle this angle well. They don't rotate over to handle this angle. Okay? We got to make sure that we get this angle right. The sports is a lot about angles. Nobody talks about it, but that's why we talk about in the outfield the routes the outfielder takes. The ability to run the bases and cut it inside to pick up an extra step. Angles all the time in basketball. All the time. How you make a cut. How precise that cut is. What angle do you get where now you put them in peril because of the angle? See, they think in the present. Well, you're like, oh, God, they were great last week. The offensive line was great. Well, the matchup may have been favorable. Yeah, may have been the right guy, right time. And you're looking around saying, all right, this is great. I'll give you a perfect example of an in-game adjustment. When Ohio State played Penn State last year, JTT, early in the game, they had him on the same side as Olu. He could not do anything with Olu. Zero. It was when they flipped him to the other side, that's where he did all that damage. Because they got a better matchup. By the way, Penn State and Ohio State will be noon. So that means on Eagle 107, that'll be 10:30. This week's 3:30 and at 2 o'clock. But Ohio State, Penn State, as expected, noon. And that'll be a 10:30 airtime at Eagle 107. We now return to the cave, where Matt will put down his club and will tell everybody what his next rant is.
So we talked a lot of last week. I want to start just with this first. We talked a lot about last week about where the brotherly shove, and if it's a I know you mentioned you think it's a dangerous play, you don't like the play. I'm okay with the play and all that. So we know
I think it's a dangerous play because it's leading to open field shoves. That's why it has to be banned completely, because it's leading to open field shoves. I saw Donovan Smith yesterday in Kansas City in the open field shove. I think it was Sky Moore, either that or Tony, one of the two, to a first down from behind. I'm like, you can't. To me, it's the open field one that I think is dangerous. That's why you can't just ban one. You got to ban the whole thing.
Right, and then of course with the Giants a couple weeks ago, they had two linemen hurt when they tried to run that play.
Yeah, but that happens in places like that. It's leading to open field shoves, and that's what I don't like.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I don't know if you saw the NFL Competition Committee, NFLPA, is now looking into the brotherly shove this time because for player safety purposes. So, NFLPA, Yeah, they have to look into it. I kind of take them out of this equation. I'm focusing more on the competition committee that was focusing on it last year and then decided to keep it in. To me, if this were really about player safety, not only would this be done, but there would be so many other things done to help player safety. This is just the NFL looking for an excuse to get rid of the play than it is actually worrying about player safety. If this were really about player safety, this would not be here anymore. And if we're really going to get into it, then why don't we get rid of the quarterback sneak? Because it's not the same exact play, but it's a similar play because offensive linemen, if we're worried about their health, are kind of doing the same thing and trying to get a good shove and trying to get low and get a push for a yard or two. It's the same thing on the quarterback sneak, except you have a guy literally pushing somebody across. And nobody had gotten hurt until the Giants did it a couple weeks ago. And Dallas even used it last night, and it worked. So, once again, it goes back to just find a way to stop it. That plain and simple. If this were really about player safety, it would be gone by now. This is just the NFL trying to find an excuse to get rid of the play. Then it is really about player safety. Please.
Well, I'm against the play because it's leading now to shoves all over the field. Right? And I just don't like the fact that you're in the open field because I was, you know, the Patriots game with the Dolphins where they threw the ball to Mike Gesicki. Mike knows he's not going to make it. So Mike then lateraled it back to one of the linemen. And then in the effort to make it, what happens? A Patriots player comes from behind and he's trying to shove him. Meanwhile, the Dolphins are coming in, and they're trying to stop them, and you've got collisions in open field because you're allowing the shove to happen. It's not just a quarterback sneak. You're allowed to shove anytime, anywhere. And that's the problem. That's why, to me, it's got to be banned because it's leading to dangerous plays in the 53 and a third. It's not just in the confined box where Jalen Hurts gets a first down. Right? That has nothing to do with it. I don't like the fact that it's leading to open field plays like that. Like, okay. And that's the issue I have with it. And that's not banning the quarterback sneak, is your ability to sneak in and get a first down. They never pushed Brady. I mean, Brady never got pushed. If you run it right, you get it. So the quarterback sneak's not the issue, but I don't like the push from behind. I didn't like it when Reggie Bush did it with Matt Leinart, and I haven't liked it since. That to me, that's not football. And I'm really starting to see more and more, like I said, Donovan Smith. Open field yesterday with the Vikings. Now, nobody got hurt in the play at all, but geez, I'm watching thinking, damn, that's a dangerous play. Because you're coming up from behind of your own guy. You're then creating an additional collision out there on the field. And there's a lot of things about it I don't like about it. And it has really nothing to do with, I could care less if the Arizona Cardinals are having success with this. Has zero to do with the Philadelphia Eagles. For you, it has everything to do with the Eagles. You're not a big picture guy. You're all about, like, I mean, I don't even think you know anybody on the Cardinals. Because they're not, they must be on your schedule. You're playing all the weaker teams, right?
Yeah, actually, it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
They
yeah,
come to Philly.
I knew it, yeah. I knew it had to be. Yeah, you guys play all the lower tier teams. It's kind of easier to build a record that way. So it has nothing to do with Philadelphia. And it has nothing to do with the two Giants getting hurt. That's irrelevant to me, too. I just think it's leading to other plays where you're shoving all over the field. It's dangerous. See, that's why I want it banned. You're mad because the Eagles have success with it.
Well, I mean, it's not only that, but it's just other teams are using it and either have or have been successful. Dallas was last night. The Giants weren't, but
Penn State used it.
Yeah, and Penn State was successful using
Penn
it.
Penn State used it. Okay, that doesn't mean I'm for it.
It's the Eagles are using their personnel in the right way to use it in this case. And so was Penn State in that particular instance. And same with Dallas last night.
But my problem is it's leading to other plays where people are pushing.
That's the only your argument is one that I can understand, actually.
Yeah,
if I'm going to be perfectly honest, because I do think that if it's I think it's more dangerous to have that happen in the open field than it is there. But I see where you're coming from. I do.
I don't quarterback sneak. Say it was only confined to quarterback sneaks. I'd be like, okay, that's the way it goes. But see, what I'm seeing now is I'm seeing it all over the field. Like, oh, wait a minute, no, come on. And it's dangerous for the ball carrier. It's dangerous for the ball carrier in the open field. And it's also dangerous to see this Mack truck coming at you. Right? That's not trying to block. They're trying to push. Yeah, I think that what's happened with the push is there have been unintended consequences to it. And one of them is it's now happening all over the field because it's legal all over the field. Like, okay. And you always have to look, what are the unintended consequences? When you confine it to the box, it's hard to see unintended consequences. But then you start seeing it in other parts of the field. And you sit there, I'm sitting there going, I don't think that's what they intended with the rule. And it has nothing to do with, guys are going to get hurt on any play, for goodness sakes. You know, I've seen a guy get hurt in a kneel down, for goodness sakes. Okay? I saw one time in practice, Anthony Morelli, okay, dislocated his thumb on a handoff. I mean, all right? You're not supposed to dislocate your thumb on a handoff. Things do happen. So that's why I don't get, what, are we going to ban handoffs because he got a dislocated thumb? No. Guys get hurt on plays because certain things just happen in certain ways. I don't even think twice about that. So the Giants thing, nothing to do with this at all. It's the open field hits that bother me because the open field hits are done at full speed. When you're doing the push, to be honest with you, you're just like, you're firing out, but you aren't going full speed. As opposed to, I'm already running, it's that, let's just take a lineman. There's a good chance a lineman is running at maybe 13 to 17 miles an hour, depending on who it is. Or a tight end. Might be running anywhere from 15 to 19 miles an hour. Because you've now built up speed and you're going at it, you're attacking it. You're not coming out of a stance and doing it. You're now actually running. That's why I'd like to see them take a longer look at it. I could care less if the Eagles run the thing. That has nothing to do with anything. They're really good at it. But, you know, the reason you want to know why the Eagles are really good at it, the key always is getting leverage. And leverage for an offensive lineman is always being low man wins. And the Eagles are dynamic on that play of being low man. Across the board, five guys are the lowest guys. It's well taught. You watch the Eagles run it. All five linemen are lower than every defensive lineman. And 9 times out of 10, low man wins. So it's well taught. It's well executed. It is fundamentally an incredibly sound play by Philadelphia. Just in terms of how the line runs it. It's brilliant. I don't see anybody else running it the same way. I don't understand why other teams don't sit there and put five guys low like they do, or six guys low like they do. It's how low the Eagles are that impresses me more than the push.
That and Jalen Hurts is one of the strongest quarterbacks you're ever going to see.
Well, he is strong. I mean, is he the strongest quarterback out there? You know, there are others. There are a couple guys that are probably stronger. But no, he's very strong. I mean, you know, he's got a powerful upper body. I mean, you don't see the 49ers running it with Brock Purdy. I mean, Brock Purdy is not anywhere near as, you know, physically built in the upper body area that Hurts is. Hurts has always been a good runner anyway, in part because he's powerfully built. It does make a difference. So, and he gets low in the play too when need be. He does not run high. I mean, it's like why? I mean, seriously, you watch the play. It's like watching a group of gophers. There are gophers that are higher off the ground than the Eagles when they run that play.
I like that.
It's the open field part that. See, that's the unintended consequence. You always have to start figuring out the unintended consequences when you see it. And I've been seeing it, all season long in different games where there have been more open field pushes because the rules allowed, and that's the unintended consequence. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle. These are the pros. They do a great job of putting customer service first. Do a great job of saving you money wherever they can. You know, in certain cases, you're allowed to get insurance over state lines. In some cases, bundles. But they'll make sure you're fully insured because, again, customer service means everything. In other words, your needs mean everything to them. And then part of your need with everybody is saving some money. And they'll do everything they can to see if they can find those savings for you. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. By the way, since it is homecoming here, Penn State will be wearing their Generations of Greatness jerseys, which means numbers on the helmets and so forth, white shoes for the game on Saturday. The players have been spending the past couple of weeks in practice. You know, they pick and choose, you know, individually when and where to wear them, but they're trying to break them in. And so they've been breaking the shoes in for the past couple of weeks. You know, practice here, practice there. But they're going to, that's what they're going to have, the Generations of Greatness uniforms, numbers on the helmets, white shoes. That's all coming up on Saturday. Next up, amazingly, Bucknell football and Shikellamy football had their highest ratings of the season. Trying to think what the two had in common. Oh, how's the suit feeling?
S-U-I-T. That spells suit.
He is back in the office today. Not 100%, but he is back in the office today.
It's not 100%. Okay. You've been around him. When has he been 100%?
Bingo!
I'm glad he's feeling better. Because he had a tough bout with this. So, I mean, it's like, glad he's feeling better. Jeez. Not easy, my man. Not easy. Is he going to do the games this week?
As far as I know.
And how's my guy Charlie Fisher doing?
He was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun on Friday night.
Good.
We had a lot of fun.
Not surprised. Good guy. He's one of the best. I have a lot of personal and professional respect for Charlie. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And they work with Doug on Saturday, right?
Correct, for Bucknell. Yep.
Yeah. And Doug said it's the greatest broadcast experience he's had in years. Don't know what that means.
Oh, my almighty!
I haven't had this much fun in the broadcast in years. I'm like, oh, let me put two and two together on that. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. I want to thank Delaware State Basketball. We were here on October 9th, and today they put out their roster. All right. It's a little late in the game. They're playing November 6th. Oh.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells foul.
Yeah, 4 weeks from today they play. I think we'll put a roster out. Really? Okay. Goodness gracious. So the Eagles and the 49ers are the only two undefeated, right? Everybody else has lost. Right?
Correct.
Okay. And who do the Eagles have this week?
At the Jets this week.
Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play?
As far as I'm aware, he is not.
Okay. There you go. Just checking. Are you out of rants, or do you have one more?
I do have one more, in fact. So I'm sure you saw NBC/Peacock announced their announcing duos for men's and women's basketball this year for the Big Ten. And one of them is Jack Collinsworth. I'm sorry. I've watched all the Notre Dame games with him. I've seen him do Sunday night. I don't see what NBC sees with him except his last name. I'm serious. I mean, the guy's not bad as a host when he does his thing on Sunday Night Football and Football Night in America. But doing the Notre Dame games, it's like he's still hosting and not calling the game. Like he's very manila, very kind of monotone. Like I don't see what NBC sees in him. I really don't, other than the last name.
I did see LaFonso Ellis is joining BTN as one of the analysts. That's a pretty good ad, I think. I think LaFonso Ellis do a great job. So this is for Bass, because I think Noah Eagle's doing some games, right, for NBC?
Correct. It's the main three are Noah Eagle, Jack Collinsworth, and Terry... I have to pull up the guy's name. I forget.
The only one I knew was Noah. And he's done a good job. I mean, when I've heard him on football, he's done a good job.
Oh, I love Noah Eagle.
Yeah, I think he does a very good job. I haven't really heard Jack Collinsworth in my life, so... I really... don't know pro or con. I couldn't even begin to. Because it's a little different because there's so many times where I'm doing a game that's opposite a game that he might be doing, and I don't really watch pregame shows. They don't really intrigue me that much.
Terry Gannon's the other one. So it's Noah Eagle.
Terry Gannon, yeah, former NC State basketball. Terry was on the 83 team that upset Houston in the NCAA championship at the Pitt in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And Terry has done a lot in his career. You've heard him on gymnastics at the Olympics. You've heard him on Golf Channel. Terry Gannon's very, very good. And yep. I think Terry Gannon will be perfectly fine doing this.
Yep.
I mean, it's a sport obviously he knows. I don't know how much play-by-play of basketball he's done, but when I've heard him on the Olympics, I've heard him on gymnastics, I've heard him on figure skating, I've heard him on golf, and he's very, very good.
Oh, yeah, he does do the figure skating. Yeah, I did like him.
Terry Gannon's a pro's pro.
Well, there you go. So you got those three, and then Paul Burmeister, of course, I love doing Notre Dame radio, and he used to do the TV. Steve Burkowski, Rich Lerner, Steve Schlanger, also handling play-by-play duties for select games. Your analysts are Robbie Hummel, Steven Bardo, and Trey Demps.
Okay.
For the men.
Right. And obviously, Robbie is tremendous. And Rich Lerner is also one of the hosts on Golf Channel, who's very, very good as a host. Now, I don't know if he's in a hosting role or play-by-play role, but as a host, he's outstanding.
And the studio show is Ahmad Farid, who's actually pretty good. He's filled in on Football Night in America a few times. Yeah. I like him. Josh Pastner and Jordan Cornette.
Oh, well, Josh Pastner is the former head coach at Georgia Tech. And Jordan Cornette I've run into many times. The last time I saw Jordan was in Charleston at the tournament down there back in November. It's the last time I saw Jordan. And there'll be no Scott Van Pelt tonight, by the way. Lost his voice. So he will not be hosting Monday Night Countdown. I will freely admit I've never watched Monday Night Countdown. I know, I drive you nuts. I baffle you, don't I?
Sometimes, yes. But in this case, you're not missing much.
I have no interest in it. You know? If I thought I was going to learn something from it, then I'd be like, okay. Because I'm always in search of knowledge of some sort. I just think it's always great not to rest on your laurels and just like, hey, I know everything's going on. But you know, after a couple of years of watching pregame shows, I realized I was learning nothing out of it. Okay, that's fine. So I don't watch them. And it doesn't mean the people on there aren't smart. But you also really, when you do what I do, you really tend to really focus just in on what you're supposed to be doing in your game. And so in this particular week, you know, Tyson Pumajon and Adams and DeWosier and Anthony Simpson and guys like that. Yeah, I'm focused in on UMass. I know you want me to be focused in on Ohio State. That's what you prefer me to talk about, right?
No, you got to be focused on UMass.
Yeah, because it's the only game I got in front of me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, next week we'll talk about the other thing. Something tells me next week should both teams win. It's going to be a busy week.
I don't doubt it.
Can you do my show? I remember, jeez. I'm trying to remember when this was. It wasn't that far afield. It may have been last year. I don't know. Maybe it was 19. Might have been 19. And every time I turned around, this was for Jack and me. Can you do my show? Can you do my show? Can you do my show? You know. Now, obviously, do we do the same thing here? To get people to come on this show? Yeah, of course. Right? And I'll probably ask Paul to come on and do the show next week, Paul Keels. And will I do his show? Yeah. Anybody who's, you know, who broadcasts a game, it's an automatic yes from me. Right? Always. And they know that, and that's why we're able to get these guys on when we ask. We're going to have Tony Knott, by the way, on Wednesday this week. But what's interesting is that you get asked by everybody else. And I remember, God, it may have been 2019. Jack and I got on the plane. I looked over and said, how many did you do this week? He said, I think I did 14 or 15. I said, yeah, I think I did like 18 to 20. Right? And the two of us were sitting on the plane going, you know what? The best part of this right now is that nobody can call us. And you get asked the same questions. You give the same answers over and over again. So there's no issue doing it. It's just the volume of it. And I understand it. People are looking for guests. I mean, I got that. I mean, we're looking for guests all the time. I mean, the soup keeps volunteering and we keep saying no.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
It's kind of a quality control thing. Oh, I mean, you know, we should get somebody that's not doing anything right now to be on the show. Why don't you try and get Aaron Judge?
Always.
No. I mean, like, why don't you call Aaron Judge? I mean, he's got time.
Always.
I mean, they can yell all rise they want, but obviously your guy won't return your calls. I think maybe that should be pointed out to your kids.
I may have to, yeah.
He won't call Daddy back.
Well, I'm not doing all rise again, Dad.
I bet Bryce Harper would do the show.
You know what? He probably would, to be honest with you.
It's that kind of guy.
E-I-G-O-E-S-U-S.
He knows there's a G in there, right?
Yeah, he has the G in there.
Okay. Does he enunciate it when he says it?
Let me double check this.
E-I-G-O-E-S-U-S.
Oh, when he says Eagles, yeah, he skips over the G when he says Eagles. Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. I thought you said he missed it in the chant.
Completely inefficient there at the end. Oh, God, is he going to be chanting that after San Francisco tears him apart or what?
We'll find out December 3rd.
Oh, it's that late in the year? Jeez. I didn't realize it was that late in the year.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the day that they announced the college football playoff matchups. All right. Is that game a Sunday night game?
No, that's the Fox 425 game.
Brutal. Really? What's the Sunday night game that night?
I'll have to look it up. I don't know.
But why don't you take some time to look it up? For all we know, it's a Steelers-Browns game. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, I figured out why the Eagles are not playing the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. The Eagles are playing Dallas the next week on Sunday Night Football. They don't want them on. You're not supposed to be on two straight weeks. So they had to pick one or the other. They picked the divisional matchup. And the matchup that night is...
It's Kansas City at Green Bay.
Kansas City at Green Bay, yeah. Which is like... okay,
yeah. Not great.
Yeah, they'll build it up as the... it's a rematch of Super Bowl I. Okay, that was 9 billion years ago, okay? It's like saying the Reds are playing the White Sox. It's a rematch of the Black Sox series. Like, okay, great, fabulous.
Honestly, Sunday night does not have a very good slate coming up here. They got Giants, Bills next week.
Right.
Eagles, Dolphins, which will be a fun one.
Yeah.
Bears.
That'll be a good game.
And then this is how it is going into that. This is after Eagles, Dolphins.
Yeah.
Bears, Chargers.
I know.
Bills, Bengals, Jets, Raiders, Vikings, Broncos. Oh, ouch.
Well, again, the Jet-Giant thing is something that's interesting because you put these schedules ahead of time. So with the Jets, that's supposed to be Aaron Rodgers. So that's why the Jets are getting the primetime looks because right. That's supposed to be Aaron Rodgers. The Giants made the playoffs last year and won a round. So the idea is, okay, wait, they have the Giants, New York, let's get them on. They're making strides. They're going in the right direction. It turns out that they are circling a fogged in airport.
Yeah, that one backfired on them, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. And these are guesses you have to make with teams. Hey, let's go with Cincinnati. They got Joe Burrow, the whole thing, and Burrow's hurt. Can't count on that. You can't count on the fact that Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. I mean, just certain things you just can't count on. And you're trying to use last year as part of your formula, which teams got better and we should be featuring. And you're also trying to say, oh, my goodness, the Jets acquired Aaron Rodgers. We need to put them on. I think you're allowed a maximum of 6. I think the Jets made 5 primetime games. And those are just things you just can't count on. Wasn't there a game in primetime last year where the Eagles had Gardner Minshew at quarterback? If I remember.
Well, it was Fox's Christmas Eve game last year. It was Gardner Minshew versus... Dak was back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, when the Cowboys played the Eagles last year...
It was Cooper Rush versus Hurts.
One game it was Rush, and the other game it was Gardner Minshew.
Right.
Like, great.